Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your weakness overcomes us with its power. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned that I'm recording the Masters. I also recorded the Toronto Maple Leaf game last night. I didn't have time to watch it. But you don't need to tell me who won or lost, I know. I know some people, when they record a sports event, they don't want to know what the score was. They want to wait till they get home and they can watch it as if it's unfolding before them, but that's not me. If my team has lost, I don't want to bother watching the game. That's a couple hours of my life I wouldn't get back. I like to know the outcome. I'm a little like that with some movies as well. I have a challenge sometimes watching films of the life of Abraham Lincoln, especially when it gets to the time near his assassination, or a film of the life of John Kennedy. I get the feeling, don't go there. And I don't like to watch those events unfold again. But there's something different about this event. Every year it comes to us. It begins on Palm Sunday. It runs through Holy Week. We call this Passion Sunday because there is no doubt in anyone's mind where this parade is going, what the outcome will be of that march into Jerusalem. Jesus knew it, and his disciples had some very strong sense of it. And yet I watch. I know, though, that he is not going to lose. That this isn't the story of some kind of destruction. This is a story of commitment. That as we watch this story unfold and go more deeply into the week, as we watch one by one, and as a group, the disciples fall away from him, the crowd turn from cheers to jeers, as we see him who began with the crowds go on increasingly alone, we see something that is happening. Not that we would prevent it, but that is inevitably unfolding for us. God is drawing near. And in this weakness, in the readiness of Jesus to allow himself to be captured and tortured and crucified, we know that we're not seeing weakness that is powerlessness, but we're seeing the weakness which is the incredible strength to make oneself vulnerable, to expose oneself to all the slings and arrows and pain of love, that love might happen. The one who withdraws behind a citadel, the one who goes to the great blue beyond, the one who reigns in power on a throne, does not come near to us. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer perhaps talked about this the best. Bonhoeffer was someone who was imprisoned and executed by the Nazis. He could have gone to New York City and spent the war teaching theology in Union Theological Seminary. But when he asked a colleague, should he go, that colleague responded to him, well, where does the gospel need to be preached? And he stayed in Germany. He wrote about something called religionless Christianity, and that's a hard concept to get your mind around unless you understand what he meant by religion. For Bonhoeffer, religion was all those things that we do to keep God away from us. All those ways of acting and performing which do not allow God to come near to us. He called us and our religions idol factories. He said what we did was, or what God did, was God allowed himself to be pushed out of the world onto the cross. He is weak and powerless in the world, and that is precisely the way, the only way in which he is with us and helps us. Hard to understand that. Bonhoeffer, the God that got pushed out of the world is this God of power, this God of glory, this false God, who is, in the term that comes to us from the theater, a deus ex machina, the God who is out of the machine, the God who comes out of magically some place and is dropped down and solves all our problems, is no God at all. So that God had to be pushed out of the world so that we could see who God is, the power made perfect in weakness. The God who comes in love. If you've ever tried to love from a position of power, you might know that that's impossible. If you've ever tried to love from a place of withdrawal from the plight of those who you love, you know that's impossible. Love goes into the place of the suffering. This is also Bonhoeffer. To find God, I don't leave this world. To search somewhere beyond the blue, I don't find God in my heart, individualism, or in heaven, metaphysics. Although religion on a daily basis tempts me in those directions, rather I look for the neighbor who is within reach. And in being there for others, I encounter Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who makes himself radically available for others, and to be available for those who are suffering, for those who are lost and abandoned, for those who are dying, and we are all dying. You have to be vulnerable and enter the place of suffering and dying. That's where we are. And as you look upon this world, as you look upon your neighbors, as you look upon your family and see those who are afraid or suffering or dying, as you draw close to them, there you will find God with them. You say, but I want the God who gets me out of this mess. The only way out of this mess is to enter it and love one another. Fleming Rutledge, a wonderful theologian and preacher, described a time 32 years ago when she was in a terrible mess. She was in a crisis, and a friend of hers who was on the opposite coast wrote her a long and compassionate letter, and it was a lovely letter, but there was one line in it that really upset Fleming. Her friend wrote, "Your spirituality will get you through this." Fleming recoiled at that line and wrote this: "Whatever spirituality meant, I was keenly aware that I didn't have any of it. In and of myself, I had nothing adequate for what I was facing at that time. I had only the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I hear so often, oh, my faith is being tested. I don't have faith enough to get through this. And I always say, well, get rid of your faith. Your faith will never get you through this. Only Jesus Christ can get you through this. It's not up to you. In this weakness, which is infinite power, he has come in love to be with you. You are not alone. It's so hard to understand that. I understand I don't want pain. But when I am in pain, I don't want to be alone. And you are not alone. The same one who entered Jerusalem and went to a cross is the one who takes us through to the resurrection, but only first by being weak enough to join us in our humanity. Whatever spirituality I have, whatever faith I have, it isn't adequate to get me through the crises I face in my life or in the lives of the people I love and serve. I depend on Jesus Christ. And it is amazing when you see the power of this weakness. There was a scholar who talked about Jerusalem at that time, and of course Pilate moved his headquarters from Caesarea into Jerusalem during the Passover to keep order. And Pilate came with his Roman legions, so you get this wonderful picture on the one part of Pilate coming in on his white horse with the Roman legion surrounding him and the coercive power and threat of Rome dominating that entrance. And then through this other way from Bethany, the house of the poor, came this humble figure riding on the colt of a donkey, a prince of weakness. And where was the true power? We see these coercive parades, and there's a wonderful story that happened in Knoxville, Tennessee in 2007. They were holding a Ku Klux Klan rally, and they still have those, sadly. We saw that in Charlottesville not long ago. And the Ku Klux Klan were there, and the neo-Nazis were there, and they formed up to march through the streets of Knoxville, and the people of Knoxville didn't want them there but seemed powerless to prevent it. And they began their march shouting, "White power, white power." But a group had formed to create another parade that marched alongside them and behind them. They were called the Ku Klux Clowns. That's right. You can see them there. And they would hear those shouts of white power and they would go, "Can't understand what you're saying." "Oh, I understand. White flour." And they brought along bags of flour and they would throw the flour up on the marchers. Here's the poem that was written. It's a wonderful storybook. A children's book you can buy. "White power," screamed the marchers, and they raised their fisted hands. The clowns leaned in and listened like they couldn't understand. Then one held up his finger and helped the other see the point of all this yelling, and they joined right in with glee. "White flour," the clowns shouted, and they reached inside their clothes. They pulled out bags and tore them open, and the huge clouds of powder rose. They poured it on each other and they threw it in the air. It got all over baggy clothes and multicolored hair. And after they got rid of all their flour, they went again, the white powder, they said, oh, it must be wife power. And so they brought out all these, they weren't all women, in bride gowns. And they danced around them, wife power, wife power. And then they went, oh, wait, maybe we misheard again. And you can imagine the Nazis getting kind of frustrated and embarrassed. And they said, oh, white flowers. And they started throwing white flower petals all over the marchers. The Nazis who claimed their civic right to march, who gathered in all their leather and fists and fearsomeness, were totally unmasked and embarrassed, and the march disbanded. And they have never marched again in Knoxville, Tennessee. Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, not with arms, not on a white horse or with a legion. He came in the weakness, which is the infinite power of God to love. He unmasked all the powers of our world. And he comes to us still. Susan Brill wrote this hymn. I was thinking about trying it, but how can you give up on all our good traditional Palm Sunday hymns? But it has this verse, Holy God, holy and powerful, power without peer, you bend to us in weakness, emptied you draw near, and we behold your power. Do not be fooled by anything which masquerades as power but love. Allow that to unmask all the ugliness, all the pain-inflicting powers of our world, and receive the weakness of God. Forever. Amen.